Father, we just come before you and, oh Lord, we've been before you the whole time this morning and just ask, Lord, that you would settle our hearts before you. Lord, that you would just hedge our minds, Lord, that we wouldn't be distracted, that we'd be hearing what the Spirit's saying today. And that, Lord, that you would just reveal yourself to each of us where we need to see you today, Jesus. And that when we leave here, we could leave here knowing you more and fall more in love with you. We just thank you in Jesus' name. So, everybody got notes? Good. There are any. Darn any, that's why. Just kidding. Told many this morning I was planning on going into 22, but the Lord has something on my heart that I want to share. Going back a little bit into 21. But if anybody wants to read ahead next week, we're going to go through the first 13 verses of chapter 22. And if you want to do some studying, you might want to read Exodus 12 and Leviticus 23 for a little heads up for next week. For this week, let's look at verse 34, 21. Jesus says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and if that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man." In the daytime he was teaching in the temple, but at nighttime he went out and stayed at the mountains called Olivet, which we know he went to pray. And early in the morning all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. We're going to end up, if you want to turn with me, to Matthew. Verses in chapter 24. The reason why we're going to go to Matthew here is because here in Luke and Matthew, this is the exact same time and conversations that's happening. Getting ready to go into Passover that's what we're going to start talking about next week, Passover. But he's leaning into it. This is the last time. It's the last words Jesus has before they come and take him to start the process of crucifying. So I find that his words are very timely. Like if you know you're getting ready to depart and you want to leave wisdom for someone, wouldn't you think the most important things on your heart would be the things you share at the end? Try to get that last instruction in it. You're walking around with a bunch of people who don't get it. And he's really trying to get them to understand that, he's getting ready to leave, so he won't be there to corral them and keep them on the straight and narrow, or just so that they can keep their eyes fixed on him. And so when we come here and look back here, in Luke, Jesus, he warns them about carousing and that the times draw near. We know that in Luke here and in Matthew, where he starts talking off what's going on right now, and he kind of throws that little thing in front of you that part of it takes place here, and part of it takes place here. It's hard to divide. It's taking care of future events because we know that the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. So part of it, some of the things he's sharing, took place in 70 AD. Some Christians and believers believe that this all was fulfilled at that time. I'm not one of them. Not even going to get into that. But there are people who are out there that love the Lord that think that all Scripture was fulfilled in 70 AD. Still waiting for the no sin and all that to take place. But anyway, so he comes back and he warns his followers and just says, beware. almost been 2,000 years. And we're told that, you know, he's talking back and they're asking him when the temple is going to be destroyed. And he's saying it's not now, but all these other things have to take place. But be ready. Be watching. Be praying. Pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. I like it because he says it will come, it's coming, and it will come to pass. Jesus just confirms what he's speaking, it's going to happen. And I think in a lot of times, being 2,000 years removed, sometimes we can live in a way that we think there's a delay. And that he's not coming. And when we get to those points in our lives, we get lazy. So anybody had their parents go away when you were a kid and left you alone? Or did mom leave? Just kidding. No. She called us. We weren't sly enough. But you know, what we found to have happened was we knew what time they were coming in. So we had all kinds of fun, and in the last hour, well, 15 minutes. We made it look really nice to the point where they came in. And so we were just chilling, having a good time, but we knew that end time so we could have things put back together. But Jesus gives us no end time. He says it is going to happen, but to be ready. So there's a tendency when we don't see things happening, we kind of see some of the things going over and over, and every age has said, we're right at the end. You can look outside and see the world the way it is right now, and you know Jesus is coming soon. That's been going on since about 45, 50 days after this, as apostles and disciples started getting taken, their lives taken for their stand for Christ. And through the ages, the church, in a lot of ways, and many times, and I'm just saying this is because what I do, is a lot of times we tend to drift back and not take that stand because we're not really for the persecution and the struggle and hope that we do better the next time. And so Jesus warns here, but I want to go back. Let's just go to Matthew. It's going to be a lot of reading. Actually, we're going to start in verse 36 of Matthew 24. And I'm going to read the three parables and probably just go to verse 23 of chapter 25. So it's going to be a lot of reading. So would anybody like to read that? So Matthew 24:36 to 25:23. If you want to stop, somebody else can pick up, but that's fine.
Start at 25.
Okay.
But on that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days, which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking until, they were eating and drinking. They were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then there shall be two men in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you be ready too, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master puts in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, My master is not coming for a long time, and shall begin to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink the drunkards. The master of that slave will come one day when he does not expect him, and at an hour which he does not know, and shall cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. Weeping shall be there and gnashing my teeth.
Anybody want to read 25, 1 to 23? Actually, the 30.
Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slept. And at midnight, the cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him." Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. And the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and bought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'"
Thank you. Any questions? Any thoughts? Anybody that's awake? Some verses that a lot of people don't like to tackle and touch. Correct? I find that it's very important that Jesus... Well, in a conversation I have with people, and part of my thing for coming back here, or not wanting to come back to these verses, is because we were studying in Luke, and I really didn't need to come to passages that sometimes seem hard to try to explain something that I explained 2 weeks ago. But I think it's important because there's 24 hours in the day. And we say we're His. You know, my life is not my own, it's yours. And so I have, when it comes reason when Jesus says, beware of carousing and wasting time and doing all these things, you got to check my heart. I got to give him the opportunity to check my heart. I'm not looking in a mirror. I could go through and start listing things. But I wouldn't even find the true heart behind it, because the Lord looks at the heart. And he wants to deal with the heart. And he wants us to stay ready, to stay looking, to stay excited. And so we need to take his heeds, his warnings, and take them, be serious about them. There's things in these verses, a lot of people come around, sit there and talk about, hey, this is talking about, hey, look, all these people, we have wise virgins, foolish virgins, but they were virgins, so they must all be believers, and they weren't ready, so then they didn't get to make it. You have those teachings out there where they'll use these things. Anybody heard that before? Okay. Well, I'm looking at it from a different lens, so sorry. But the one thing that I found as I read through all these little parables here, and that is, and it takes us back to what I believe the whole purpose for humanity is, not just the believers. And so when the Lord, when it says in all these, and the faithful servant in verse 45 says that he put a master over the household to give them food in due season. So the Lord took care of and provided for them before the trial. Right? Both were given. The virgins, you had 10 that were wise, 10 were foolish. 10, 5 wise, 5 foolish. 5 had oil from the get-go. The other 5 didn't. So when they went out to meet the bridegroom, they already had the oil that they took with them. Okay? That was made, which made them different than the unwise. In the last parable, we see that all the servants were given talents. Right? So, God created mankind for his good pleasure, right? But every human being, whether believer or non-believer, came into this earth and he has given all gifts. John 1 tells us that every person that came into the world has been given light. Right? So if you've been given enough light, and then in Romans 1 talks about that they did not, because they didn't glorify God, he gave them over to the base minds, right? By looking at the creation, you should be able to tell there's a God. God's given each person who comes into this world enough light, which would I consider a talent or a gift, to give you what you need, like he took care of their food and their goods and their talents and their oil. It was all provided for when they came into the story. It's all been provided for us. We have an opportunity. We have a light that's been given to us that we know we need a Savior. That we know we're not complete on our own. We know that there's a creation that groans and looks. And if you just look at the creation and know that there is a God. And he wants us to come to him and live in a way and understand that the only difference between believers and unbelievers, we understand, is God's grace. And receive it. He puts it out there and it's available to all. And to all, he says, be ready. Be watchful. All people are supposed to be servants of the Lord. The wise ones, humans, choose to surrender and yield. And become good and faithful because they trust and believe and are waiting patiently upon the Lord. Some of the issues in the world today, my own opinion, there's warnings into the letters of the churches to be ready, to he who has an ear, let him hear, to be watchful. Jesus even says that we should always be praying and not lose heart. There's areas we find that we don't even walk in these things, at least myself, but I have to come back and just keep, I have to rely on him. Each of us have to come back and rely on him. But the warning's there. The warning is there for us to take heed and to go after him now so that when he comes, you already have what you need. And that's him already. You see, you're not going to be surprised. Well, there's going to be a lot of things we're going to learn when we see him. But whatever your end time theology is, when you see him, you're not going to complain. You're not going to be bummed. You're just going to say, thank you, Jesus. Right? So, I just want to encourage everybody, and I know that this is an in-depth and I don't really worry about it, but I want each person in here to be a good steward. I want to be a good steward. And guess what? I fail. So I got to keep coming back to him now and keep coming and saying, Lord, I need you. You're the one that, well, you've given me your Holy Spirit. And he knows the things that we need of before we ask. So he gives us the Spirit so that it can manifest to our spirit that we're a child of God and that we can continue to grow on, and it's there for our edification. But as we're walking in, looking at being faithful, we know Timothy says that he's faithful when we're faithless, because he can't deny himself. You see, all of our acceptance and our worthiness comes back to falling at his feet and saying thank you continually and asking him to keep us ready to help us. If we really believe that these are the end times, then there's a lot of people getting ready to go to hell quick. And am I living in a way that wants to get them before it's too late? Do I want to live in a way that I allow the Lord to move in my heart, that actually stirs my heart, that wants to give me a desire to love the people he loves? And that's outside of here, because he loves the people who have not come to him as much as those who have. It's equal love, a love that was willing to sacrifice and lay down his life. And that same love, we're told in Romans, is poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit. And that same Jesus wants to love the world through you. It's good to get to the point where we understand that we're loved by God and know who you are as a believer. But there's a point in time where that love should be turning your eyes instead of inward to outward. Where you have that same love, and or you want to see people who aren't saved to be able to receive that love. And to walk in his grace and his goodness so that when he comes, they don't hear evil servant, foolish virgin, unjust steward. It's a way that we can live a surrendered life. But Jesus told us these things because when you walk in it, it seems difficult because the people walking in it with you, around you, don't understand. And might even think you're going too far. Or what they say, if you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. But the truth is if you're not Jesus minded, you're no earthly good. So there's that balance. How do we allow the Lord to work his life in us and through us? And it's through his word when he's speaking, and he wants us to see and take the heed and take warnings seriously. But not to take that warning so serious that it causes you to fall back because you're afraid that you won't be, that you're the evil one or you're the unwise one, and you become like the guy who took the one talent and buried it. See, the Lord wants you to get past that and move on and trust that if he's provided for you and given you something to say or given you his life and he wants to give it to the world, that he is going to be the same God through you to the world around you so that they can know him. And we find that, you know, we find that things get closer as we get into the Word, but we also find that we should be getting more established and ready as we go through the Word, that it can build us up in our most holy faith, that we can walk in a way that I can have the joy of the Lord and his strength and not rely on my own self and past failings and even so-called successes. But we can just keep pressing on to towards that upper call. We understand that as in the New Testament, we have these guys who walk with Jesus giving warnings about being ready, being steadfast. Because we're in a war. And I think we forget it a lot of times. And the war that we're in, I think, in America, is a war of peace, or presumed peace and tranquility, and everything's good in a lot of ways, that we become lazy. And we just need to be careful. And I'm not saying anybody in here is that. This is me talking to me. The Lord wants me to press on, not to gloat in what has happened, but to continue, because there's lives that depend on it. They're not my issue. The people out there, He's going to build His church. Right? But I know that the Lord has put things in your hearts. Each of you. Because I know that He's speaking and He wants you to walk in just the little things. Next week, one of the biggest things, and as we always continue and go through in the Word, is that we find that no matter what Jesus instructed His disciples to do, it says they found it the way He said it. They found it the way He said it. When the Lord's moving in your life, don't be surprised if you find it the way He said it's going to happen. Now, we all look at it a lot of times thinking, it's going to be great salvation for souls. He wants me to go out and tell people because everybody just wants to know Jesus. But the truth is He was our example. He came in a way that He was willing to live a life even as a misunderstood king and a suffering Savior. To lay down His life even without any, for no other reason, because it was the Father's desire to see us and His family. And so the only thing I can do today is encourage you. I know that this is like, I'm not winging it. It's just, the Lord wants us to enjoy or enter, what did He say in 25? Enter into the joy of your Lord. And the question you have to ask is am I walking in an experience in that joy that the Lord has for me? He says, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, do I give. It means he's not taking it away. The only way we lose these things is when we get our eyes and stop walking off of Him and start walking by sight. So I just want to encourage you, like, these are sometimes a lot of people verses that people will use for hard things, but there is a consistency. The Father already provided for the servant before there was any trial. Just like we heard, when the rain comes, the good servant took heed to the word, for when the storm came, the foolish one didn't take heed and built their foundation on the sand. The storm came to both of them. One stood, one fell. It's the same in our lives. It doesn't matter whether you're a believer or unbeliever, the storms are coming. Christ is coming. Are you ready? That's the question. And if you've been in a place where you've been doing these other things, just it's got to be a work of the Lord. He's got to bring it to your attention, and He's going to have to live it through you. And all we have to do is surrender and let Him have His way and let Him have His will. Look, Jesus says all those who desire to live the godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Every one of these men, other than John, died for what they believed. Many times the people say when, so they can be ready at the time. And He's like, "Are you? Now's the day to lay down your life. Now's the time. Open up and say, I gave it to you. Take it. I don't want it. I gave it away for a reason at first. No reason to take it back. And keep going after Him, and keep living ready and trusting Him. And I think we'll all have a smile on our face one day. But if you can believe it and walk it out, you can have a smile on your face every day. Whether lashes come, whether you're in prison,
Whether you win the Mega Millions, none of them are any different in the eyes of the Lord. It's walking with Him in the awareness of His presence and allowing Him to speak to your heart in these last days. I do believe He can come back at any moment. And I do want to live in a way that is ready. And so all I can do is encourage you to seek Him, open His Word. If you can't hear Him, read louder. Because He's speaking. And it says today, 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 today. He's not waiting until He'll start tomorrow. He wants to speak to you today. If you wait till tomorrow, He's still speaking. But it's now is the accepted time to live and to lay down and like surrender to Him and realize that everything is provided for by Him that we need for life and godliness while we wait. So, any other questions, thoughts, subtractions? No? Yes?
No, when it talks about the 10 maidens, the 10 virgins, is that supposed to, basically, does it boil down to be ready when the time comes because you don't know it all?
Yeah, all three of these end with the same thing. Be ready.
So
be
that
ready.
Basically
the whole message is, and right, is always be to live ready even though you don't see Him coming. You know, it's been 2,000 years almost. But as a day is a thousand years is a day to the Lord, right? So to Him, He's only been going 2 days, in a sense. So.
I like the Romans reference. That, I guess, great, too. It fits right in where, you know, we should, even as believers, to continue to make it profitable to retain the knowledge of God and not to be, you know, lazy in our own minds and fall over and silly thinking.
Yeah, I mean, we're told as a good soldier, endure. There's plenty of time, there's plenty of encouragements on there to keep pressing on, to keep enduring, to keep dying daily. Isn't that fun? Nobody smiles when I say, go ahead and go die. It says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. So every time you choose to say no to your flesh and yes to Him, it's precious in His sight. Any other? You all have homework for next week. You get to learn about Passover and other stuff. It's good to have that blood applied to the doorpost, isn't it? Well, if there's nothing else, this should stir questions. I hope it does. And He has the answers. And some of us might be able to help, but we might confuse you too. So, yes, Richard?
Yeah, one thing's interesting in these Matthew 24, and then probably 25, but and then Mark 13, I believe it is, and then Luke 21, whatever. In the end times and stuff like that, it does, even in Matthew 24, it talks about His coming. And no doubt, being ready and occupied to His comes is wise. And that's what He wants us to do. Because He didn't tell us exactly. He didn't let us know.
Right.
So, it's okay. And He knew what He's doing. And be ready. Just be ready for His coming. Look for His coming. Desire His coming. And be encouraged by His coming. Because He is coming. And I'm trying to think about that. He encourages us. He loves us.
Okay.
And then we take comfort in that. Because Paul said we could do that. It was an encouraging thing to realize that. And then, you know, it's interesting because it repetitionally says coming. He keeps talking about the coming. And be ready. You know, I often wonder if He told you when to be ready. People might run up, maybe they slack it back a little, and then they run toward the end. Oh, I'm going to get ready. Oh, my God, it's about time for the Lord's coming. But He knew what He was doing. He wants us to stay ready. And it's a walk with God. So when we walk with God, it's an everyday experience. So it's all good. So I enjoy it. And sometimes I'm just talking to this brother. Sometimes I'm busy or something, but I don't have a desire. And he was questioning about that. If you're too busy or if you don't have a desire, you know, might not want to read right then. But I told him that we pray that God will give us a desire. I said, you can be overworked and then be tired. And when you come home, you don't feel like reading the Bible. I mean, we're just people, and he knows it. But the good thing is, always be looking forward to coming back. We can come back, and that's good. Because he's coming back. He welcomes us to come back in our study, in our walk, in everyday experience. It's all good. And I enjoy what you said there. Being ready, it's just an everyday practical experience. And looking forward, we should be delighted and look for his coming. But we just don't know when, but it's round good if we don't know when, because the Father's decided that, and he's going to tell us some when to come. But, you know, I always look to coming back. I want to say this. Sometimes I don't feel like just a read, but sometimes I don't really know. I'm just like everybody else. I want to say that the next day, if I'm local, if I'm tired at night, I'm coming back. Because I'll get my life around. I said, Lord, I need my life done. I want to hear from you. So he's there to speak to us. And we want to live in condemnation.
That's what I liked about the virgins, the wise and foolish virgins. And if you look at that, they both did the exact same things. They both fell asleep until the bridegroom came. And I thought that was interesting. The only difference is one went with oil before and one didn't. And so there's a lot of times that it's not there to beat you up over or to say, but it is there to encourage you and to push you in the right direction. To encourage, to keep pressing on, and not to get discouraged and be torn down, but to press on and keep going. So, anyone else? If not, I'm going to press on and keep you going out.
I mean, I suppose I have another question, but okay. It's not related directly to this topic. It's just something I've been wondering and reading about, and I don't quite understand it entirely. What exactly is fasting and how do you do it? And is it, do you do it on Wednesday and Thursdays? Like, you know what I mean?
Isaiah 58.
Isaiah 58.
I think that's great. Is it Isaiah 58? The Lord's fast? Anybody want to answer that question or would you rather me talk to him about that quietly?
I mean, I looked it up and we were talking about weight loss, you know, and so...
You don't want to do any fasting for yourself.
Yeah.
Unless it's to deny it. And if it's not to go after the Lord, and if you read Isaiah 58, it's a life of living of self-denial, going after looking for people who are lost. And just resting in Him and trusting Him. It's to unbind. You're taking the time to put yourself down to bring freedom to others is really what fasting can be. Is it food? It can be. There is no day to do it. Back in the there, unless you want to follow the law, then you got a lot of studying to figure out which days they were and when, because there was before feast, after feast, different things and different times. And fasting is in no way what you remember is that you don't do it in a way that anybody else knows you're doing. So if you choose to fast and die to self and not eat and drink and just go after the Lord, wash your face up and don't make a big deal out of it with everybody else because it doesn't do you any good. Does that help? It can be about food. Like for some person, some people are, well, is stopping chewing gum fasting? It can be for you. If it's a form of you denying yourself that you want to set that time or set aside just to go after the Lord. I mean, or is it complete nothing? You know, those are the things the Lord, I do believe the Lord will work that in your life if He chooses to work in your life to go through that. But I know that He wants us to fast in a sense of that we die daily to ourselves so we can go out and free those who are bound and live a life of removing the bindings on people like Lazarus, the dead man coming out. That's what real fasting is. It's the day of the Lord, and it's a joy to bring life to those outside. But you have to put yourself down to do it. Unless anybody else wants to describe it differently. Nope. Okay, well, let's pray. Father, we do thank you that, Lord, that you've left us your word, which leads us to your answers and your direction and your just your life, Lord, that you want to live through us. Father, I just ask that we would be wise. Lord, our desire is not to be foolish. And as Richard was saying, Lord, that sometimes we don't even have a desire. So, Lord, we ask that you would fan that flame in our lives to give us a greater desire to know you more. Lord, that we won't have to worry about the day approaching for ourselves, but for others. And just to live a life that's surrendered to you. Lord, not because we have to, but because you love us. And it's really the only life that's worth living. We praise you and say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. In your name, pray. Amen.